Thanks, Ross. Michael, what about these now let me get this straight. There 12 predictions he was not supposed to have?
Right. What happened was Wendell was with Meyer in Meyer's home, this, you know, renovated farmhouse that serves as the central part of a center, a home. It's a busy place. And typically people get together in the kitchen, and what had happened was Billy had been telling Wendell apparently about Jupiter and having seen the rings and all this other stuff, and that the information was in a transcript. And he asked one of the people there, a woman named Ava, to get a copy of this mimeograph. We're talking, you know, 1978, and to give it to Wendell, or actually 1979 at that point. And then something happened, like a phone rang or something, and Billy went out to handle that. Ava went and ran off all this, you know, stuff and gave it to Wendell, who was leaving, you know, for the States. And he just took it all and came back with it. And then when he was going over the documents that he had, he looked at that and he realized that there were these dozen predictions in there that Meyer had been given. And he knew that this was an accident and it shouldn't have happened. And he confirmed that when he got back in touch with Billy. So what he did was interesting. He showed this information to two other, you know, credible people. And one was a guy named Major Rudolph Pestalozzi, who was retired from the U.S. Air Force, as Wendell Stevens was. And the other man, his name was Mr. O. Richard Norton. He had been the director, former director of the Flandreau Planetarium, or Flandreau, I think maybe, in Tucson, Arizona. So they read this, and then they all kind of signed it off, and Wendell says he threw it into a safe and locked it away because he knew that that stuff should not get out. And you know, at the moment, unless you really want, I'm not going to tell you why the prediction shouldn't get out, but that was the sequence. What he did do is he kept the Jupiter information active, and he put this information in a book of his. And the, to me, fascinating thing was that Wendell never referred to the Io information as being particularly important. Now, had there been any kind of a conspiracy, a hoax, or what have you, what you'd want to do is you'd want to be in on something and point out, you see, we published this information before it was discovered. But Wendell was more fascinated with what the Pleiaren were telling him were the actual numbers of moons of Jupiter and other things. But that information is contained, and it's in one of the books, as I recall. I think it's the Preliminary Investigation Report. I have this article on my site that I can find, too. But you probably are curious about the specific predictions that he wasn't to reveal. And if you are, I can run through them. Or people can, you know, find them very easily when they click on the prophecies link, whatever you prefer.
You know what? Just in the interest of giving you some, you know, enough space to, you know, complete these various thoughts and answer these questions, I've got, I have a few of them here and some from listeners who can send emails, and I will pass them along to Michael. That's John B. As another John B. said in an email a while ago, why don't you say John B.? Do it the aviation phonetic way. That's J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com. And when we come back, I'd like to know why Billy doesn't talk to the media too much, why the people from the Pleiades came here, if Billy Meyer believes in God, and why is he the sole contactee or claimed to be so? And we will get into all of that. Hope you stay with us. Hope you're enjoying the program, which is Coast to Coast AM. Michael Horn, did you want to finish up on the thought before the little break there, or should we go on to some more questions? Because I got a lot of them.
You know what? As far as predictions and stuff go, if I can say now that we have an abundance of documentation on the website, and people, if they're patient, they do a little searching. My blog also has things like I update now more regularly on my blog whenever there's a new confirmation of Meyer's prophetic information. If there's really a problem finding anything, or if somebody has a real issue and they email you about it. But I think that there's, you know, more important things to get to, such as the questions you're about to ask. And ultimately, if this is true, what's the real reason for all this? And what do we do about it? And, you know,
yes.
Stuff like that. So I'll take any questions that you have, of course.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, does Billy believe in God?
No. There are zero beliefs involved in the Meyer material.
Okay.
And this is, of course, one of the things that I think has helped, quote-unquote, earn Billy 22 attempts in his life. And this is a core part of the entire Meyer context, and not only of the Meyer context, but in this case, this goes back a very long time. Here's an explanation as best I can muster at this time of night. The Pleiaran extraterrestrials, their own forefathers, were, in many cases, along with some other extraterrestrials at times, the gods of our, you know, history, prehistory, the ones around whom religions were formed, and most notably, although not exclusively, the gods of the Old Testament and the prophets that go back to, as you mentioned at the beginning, Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, who's only mentioned once that I know of in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The information in this case claims that that was the name, the real name of the man, as foretold in Isaiah, who was later, and they say falsely, called Jesus Christ, a person for whom there really is no historical record, and another prophet named Muhammad. All of them were basically publishing, if you will, the same spiritual teaching, which was virtually each time corrupted, channeled into religious or sectarian forms. The various gods of our past, these extraterrestrials, were given the attribution of, you know, the creators of all things, and we have Bibles and holy books. All of this, according to the information in this case, is part of the main reason why these contacts are taking place now, because in each of the previous six prophets, they were, each personality was simply a further future incarnation of the same spirit that was doing this prophet gig, if you will. It's a very thankless job. So from Enoch through Muhammad, and what they're saying is Billy is the last. There's going to be seven prophets from Earth. And my own take on it, to maybe lighten it up a little bit, is that whenever, you know, these guys, whoever they were sitting around waiting to figure out who the seventh prophet would be, they said something like, well, how about this time, instead of some firebrand overturning tables or riding around on a horse, you know, with a flaming sword, how about by the time people find out about him, he will be a late middle-aged, pot-bellied, one-armed, gray-bearded farmer living in Switzerland. No charisma, no religion to be started around this guy. And during the electronic age, we can get this spiritual teaching put into the world and maintained and preserved for centuries to come, so that finally people can get their heads on straight and get out of beliefs, because there was no deity that created everything. It's even more huge in terms of reality, what this creation is, this universe, and how it came into being, and what are the laws of this universe, and how do things work, and where did they come from, and who created this, and what created it, all of the profound, really vast questions of existence are addressed mainly in the spiritual teaching, the consciousness-related teaching in the Meyer case. And when you come down to it, the reason, when I answered your question, no, there's no God according to Meyer, because this is all about complete, total, 100% self-responsibility for each human being for their own lives. You cannot do things that are out of integrity or that violate certain laws such as cause and effect and expect that some mythical being or even some human being can give you magic words and absolve you of damage that you've done, let's say, to others, or mistakes that you've made that have contributed to other mistakes. If we learn to observe our own thoughts and feelings before we act, if we slow it down and say, there's nobody standing above me who's going to dip me in molten lead if I, you know, don't chant or if I don't pray or if I don't believe, I am responsible for this life and how I treat other people, what I do with my life, what I do with our, you know, environment, all these things, these little niggling, discrete moments in life strung together consciously create a life. If we turn it over to beliefs, which means we don't know the truth, this is the age of beliefs. We're still moving out of this into the age of truth and knowledge, where we find out. This should be a scientist's dream, because they're not asked to believe anything here. And Meyer consistently published, for instance, black holes. You know, I just have to jump into that. Meyer had written about that a long time ago, but then he asked the play art at one point, well, it would seem to me in life, you know, in the universe, there's opposites, there's polar opposites for everything. And they said, yes, there's something, I think they called it a space curvature. And the correct term, it's on my blog, how they described, they said, these are kind of convex, not holes, but rather formations that repel things away. Instead of drawing them in like a black hole, they repel energy for billions of light years. This is a whole other thing. Your scientists haven't discovered it yet. And as far as I know, they still haven't. But there's so many other things in there that when you read, they go, oh, wait a minute, how could he have published this about Mars in 1976, and we just discovered it in August of 2008? How could he have published this about Jupiter and Venus and the rest? Well, then you get to the sticky stuff about God and religion and beliefs, and they say, look, there's just nothing out there. This universe, this creation, is this intelligence itself. We will never quite fathom what we are in and what has given us life, but our task in life is to evolve over countless millions of lifetimes in a spiritual and consciousness-related way to progress in understanding. We will ultimately, not as the current personalities, but ultimately as spiritual beings, we will remerge with that force, and this stands so much vastly above any kind of religious concepts. And there's nothing to fear. We're not punished if we don't do this, if we don't read the Meyer material or don't, you know, agree with it. This is about that freedom, one of those cornerstones.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, Michael, now this sort of thing really, this is the kind of stuff that really tweaks people up, that are people that identify themselves as people of faith, and that is that I personally don't understand why science and what we call religion now, strictly speaking, religion is just something that you do regularly. But spirituality and the belief in God and so forth, I don't understand why science and faith in a supreme being are somehow mutually exclusive, because really science just determines what is, studies it. I mean, I ask, for example, he's a pretty rational, learned man. He claims to have worked for NASA and the Air Force and everything else. I have no reason to dispute this. But I said, look, how does somebody, for example, come up with a fluorescent light tube? Does somebody just go, well, I think I'm going to design a tube-shaped light and coat it with a reactive material inside and run some DC power through it? And his answer was, well, typically these things happen because they're fooling around in the laboratory and they create this effect, and then the application for it comes later, which makes perfect sense. So, since we have consequences for bad choices that we make just on the pedestrian level, why would there be no consequences? I mean, something imposes these, hey, doc, it hurts when I do this. And the doc says, well, quit doing that. I mean, the simplistic principle seems to apply to many things in life. Well, why are these things mutually exclusive? There are causes and there are effects. Sometimes causes are smaller than their effects, and sometimes there's a big cause and not much effect, but these things do exist. Can you elaborate on that a little?
Yeah, you've hit on like one of the core elements here, and that is the immutable laws of cause and effect. Now, while let's not say that we can answer how all of the laws of this universe came to be. People who are quote-unquote people of faith, religious, are going to believe it's this. Other people may believe or think or presume it's something else. But what we do know unfailingly is that the laws of cause and effect are given. They are physical laws, and they are laws on every level of operation. Therefore, it doesn't actually require any faith in anything to observe is to, we learn the less preconception, the less faith we have in anything, the more objective and logical we are, the more we can learn and deduce and, you know, struggle to figure things out. Some of the inventions, like you said, happen that way. It's an accident. Well, what do we do with this? Other things, people, even in dreams, they see something and then they make it. Or they'll actually figure out and solve a problem. Because as Meyer was told by one of the ETs, they said, you know, the problem the Earth people have, one of them, is that they think that every great discovery and every, you know, magnificent thing must be the creation of an extraterrestrial for some reason. They don't give themselves credit because they're so used to not understanding that they're responsible for their lives and for what they do, and that human beings carry genius within them, and, you know, magnificence and creativity, and this is what should be exercised, and not, you know, fear and doubt about your abilities, but experiment. Mistakes are part of the learning process. We needn't be guilty unless we continue to make the same mistake over and over and don't learn. So science and what is presented in the Meyer material have really no opposition, because you're not asked to believe that Billy Meyer's meeting with extraterrestrials. What, instead, we're saying, here is the evidence that we can put on the table. Yes, he's got the best physical evidence. People can argue forever about UFO photos and films all they want. But when you start to get into scientific information, where I can hold up a book with a copyright and a, you know, or a document or something, we know that when it was published, when it was online, and it's specific. He's naming the city that the Russians are going to, you know, launch their attacks from, and that Canada's involved. And here it's been sitting up on the internet for 8-9 years, and he describes Jupiter. The skeptics tried to attack the Jupiter information and ended up confirming it. This is the kind of thing that happens, and so few people proportionately really know. All the rumor is, well, this guy's a hoaxer, and his wife said he's a hoaxer, and therefore it's all a hoax. Gosh, do some homework, folks. And, you know, take the UFO thing out of this. I just, you know, you've given me a moment to jump in. Cover-ups and UFO stuff, at this point, my claim is the only UFO cover-up that you can really do anything about yourself is the Meyer case. And then you don't need the government to tell you that it knows or has something. That stuff will never go anywhere. Witness, it hasn't. All the petitions and the talk about, it's not that Roswell didn't happen. It sure did. And other crashes have happened. But there's no evidence left. And if you're trying to demand the government confirm something that you can't prove, you get the result that these petitions get deservedly. They're getting...
Well, that's pretty easy to stonewall something like that. You know, we have to take these breaks. There's only a couple of minutes, but let me ask you quickly, why did they come here and why did they contact Billy? What was the point of contacting Billy? Is he supposed to pass on these predictions? Is he?
Yeah, you got it. Well, as I said, there were six previous prophets. All were subsequent incarnations or reincarnations of the evolving spirit form that had been prepared to do this gig on Earth. And because the ancestors of these people so heartily participated in screwing us up with religions, pardon me, and misleading and all the rest, they had a self-obligated. They weren't compelled to do it, but they wanted to help straighten it out. And now analyzing things at this point, they figured, and I just put up a new blog tonight, someone had written a really good thing about why the evidence was never so incontrovertible that everybody would have to believe that there's an element of free will that must exist in a world with 8 billion people, 7.5 billion of which might go nuts if they were forced to believe this was true.
Understood. Let's get into why he is the sole contactee and exactly how far advanced beyond where we are these ETs are, which, given our behavior as reported by various media, is not too much of a stretch, is it? John B. Wells, and with you tonight, we are speaking with Michael Horn all about Billy Meyer and ETs and everything that goes along with it on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. I have to ask you this. Why? Well, now, Billy Meyer is supposed to be the sole contact, yes?
Yes.
Does that mean that everybody else who thinks they've seen extraterrestrial activity come earthbound is like out to lunch? What does this mean, Michael?
Well, here's the thing about seeing extraterrestrial activity. Lots of people have seen UFOs. I've had 7 UFO sightings, the most recent 2 months ago in Brazil. seeing UFOs doesn't mean we're seeing extraterrestrial craft. Seeing objects in the sky is an unreliable means of making a claim about their origin. There may be some, and there are, according to this information, there are some extraterrestrial craft that are seen. Most of them, according to the Meyer material, during these times, are secret military craft from five different countries. And there are different groups, highly secret groups, that have alternative craft that do not have the capabilities of true extraterrestrial craft, but are pretty nifty. Some have some kind of anti-gravity technology, apparently, and they can do some remarkable things. But people who think that they've had contact with extraterrestrials, rather than my disparage them, you know, out of hand, which I certainly have done, I would say, well, present evidence that is comparable to the evidence in the Meyer case that we can show scientifically is valid from everything from testing of photos and sound recordings and metal samples, but especially the scientific information. We can show that that is accurate and verifiable and authentic and true. But how come to this day, none of the people who claim to be contactees or even abductees can prove that there is any extraterrestrial connection to them? Have people had strange experiences? Well, I'm sure. Meyer has said most of the actual abduction experiences have been secret military psyops. There have been, in the past maybe 40 years, a certain very, very small number of actual extraterrestrial, what they call contact examinations, where people indeed were taken aboard a craft and examined and set back down. But this hysteria about benevolent extraterrestrials among us and women with hybrid babies, well, show us a baby already, you know, and all the people that think or claim to be contactees. Well, I don't have anything against people being contactees, but nobody has been able to put the evidence on the table. Now, something I've never made a big deal out of, but I'll make it a little more to put this in perspective. I can prove that I received specific information from the Pleiaren via Billy. They didn't give it directly to me, but it was sent to me, the transcript, pertaining to something I was involved in that I did not know was a setup and a trap and would have been enormously destructive to me and Meyer and many people had I marched along kind of naively in a project that I had been offered. It was only because these people looked into it and accurately foretold what was going on that I extricated myself. It turned out that after I extricated myself from a project, the very person they identified launched an attack online, 300 specific instances of attacking Meyer and me, including death threats. I was able to get three separate internet hosting companies to take his site down consecutively because it was so outrageous. And this is someone who had approached me as a peace and love type of a thing. We'll do this project. I'm the opponent. You're the proponent. It'll all be nice. They told exactly what that was about. That can be determined legally by going to our servers. That document was emailed to me before this all happened. And then, last but not least, on October 3rd at 10 p.m. at night, when I was living for almost 6 months in the mountains of Brazil, I had this impulse to open the door in the dead of night and just step outside. And I lived in a pretty dark place. I looked up, and I saw a star, I thought. And then a funny thing happened, but that the star started to slowly and smoothly descend, moving down to the left and away from me, within 20 feet of me, because I realized, as I was trying to figure this out in my head, it's not a firefly. It's not being obliterated by the trees that are within 8-10 feet of where I stand. So this thing's within 20 feet of me. It's a consciously controlled object, and oh my goodness. So when I went to Switzerland 1 week later, that was the first question I asked Billy. I said, okay, this is what I saw. And he says, oh, yeah, that's one of the telemeter discs, one of the small monitoring craft from the Pleiaren. Okay, I cannot prove that that happened. I can, of course, prove that I received the warning. It's on my website. I've got all the emails and everything up there. But for those people that are running around yammering about being contactees and disclosure and the rest of it, hi, I have proof positive of receiving communication from these extraterrestrials, and if you want to do some form of testing me, I think I'm, you know, fine, I'm telling the truth here. I was within 20 feet of one of their small monitoring craft. Now, that and about $6 gets me a cappuccino somewhere. So what? Is that what it's about? No, it isn't. And you were, I think, going to also ask the question of, well, why Meyer? And why these claims that he's the only contactee, right?
That's it, yeah. And not more to the point, why doesn't he go public through the media?
Well, you know, as I say, kind of go backwards in the answers. Meyer has had 22 attempts in his life. He tried to make some presentations in Europe starting in the later 70s, and he found that he didn't have a particular gift for it. And it wasn't really his job, although he was being chastised by these ETs. If you ever read some of the contacts where they discuss the most mundane things about the people he's working with and the group and who's doing, I mean, you'd think, well, why do they take all this time? Let's get to the juicy stuff. But it really, it validated the authenticity. So they were saying to him, can't you get out there and present and show your foot? I'm not good at it, and people are, you know, giving me a hard time. So basically, it will come to other people to carry this torch for you. His job is to get this information put into the world. It's not to be a celebrity. He isn't. He isn't a cult leader. He doesn't have 19 girlfriends and 50 Rolls Royces. He works real hard at writing. His tasks at the center, he's got a family, and he stays away from people he doesn't know, and he doesn't court appearances. He's done very, very few interviews. I interviewed him last, as I said, on about maybe the 16th of October when I was there. 15th and 16th, we sat down and I taped some stuff. It's not his gig. He puts it out, and it's really for the rest of the world to translate it into their own languages if they want it. These people that work with him have enough to do to get it all, you know, tidy and together, publish it in German, nice books and what have you. And as for why he's the only one, and this irritates people, I don't know why it bothers people that a man has such a thankless, miserable job that people have tried to kill him 22 times, to kidnap his kids at knife point. They've cut the brake line on his cars. They've tried to destroy his home. Why are people so envious of this? They want to be special? No one would want their arm ripped off their body. You know, I mean, saying bitter divorce after 30 years, all this stuff, he's a human being. And he was groomed for this gig because the spirit, not the personality, had done it before. And this personality could be brought up to speed with much tutoring, as all the previous prophets had, to do this rather thankless job, be cursed out by people, ridiculed, all the rest, shot at. And he never complains about it. He never stops. You know, the first time a bullet whizzes by your head and it misses you, there's a little invisible trail that says, we suggest a career change. He never read that. Or if he did, he laughed at it. He had a dream. If people, you know, people can see the film for free, an hour and a half documentary. He talks about the dream he had that protected him against an assassination attempt and how he put this metal plate in a little agenda book in a pocket right near his heart. And sure enough, the next day when he had that there, someone walked up and point blank shot him with a handgun. You know, all these folks that think you're contactees for extraterrestrials, you might want to reconsider those claims. And the thing is, we don't need to be contactees for extraterrestrials. I couldn't go into a university where they're teaching astrophysics and say to the top professor there, explain the whole thing to me in 15 minutes or whatever. You know, let's get things given to us that have been, and let's study and learn. Let's work with others who can help us. Let's vet this information and find out if it's true. If so, what's the value? And it comes down to a very thing of individual work. I'm going to pitch one thing. Yes, I've got, you know, books and stuff. There's one thing I'll pitch to people if they want a kind of foundational thing. I've got a little program called Standing in Spirit. I even have a downloadable for like $7 or something. It's something that Meyer specifically asked me to do at the end of every lecture. I sent it to him. I said, hey, Billy, I do. This is my own stuff I do. If you don't want it associated with the work you're doing, I'll put it on a separate website. He said, no, do that at the end of every lecture. That embodies what we're talking about in consciousness, self-responsibility. Do that. So I said, fine. And it's up there. I have a DVD or I've got it downloadable. That's my pitch, because that's the work. And it's not the only way to get there. We have so much of the spiritual teaching freely available in that section on the website. You can read it. You can study it. You can think about it. You can reject it. You can try it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there, more than we're going to be able to go into in 4 hours tonight, or 3 hours tonight, that's for sure. Nathan in L.A. Control, am I doing it again? Yeah, you said I'm doing it again. All right, so I think we're taking a break, yes? Okay, he says yes, so what L.A. Control says, because he'll just turn the motors off if we don't. So let's carry on with our conversation. Please continue to send your emails to John B., as in Bravo, thanks, John B., at coasttocoastam.com, and we're going to take some of your calls here in a little while, so be patient, and we'll get you on as quickly as we can. This is Coast to Coast AM. Michael, I'll tell you what, I'm a little dubious of using this expression, but there is so much information here that, I'm having to, tighten up my headphones down, get my brains inside my head, instead of, coming out of my ears. What a disgusting visual, if you think about it. Where are we headed with Billy? He's made some pretty rough predictions.
Well, yeah. I tend to be somewhat optimistic, and I have said that my personal mission is to help prove the prophecies wrong. That means that intention is for many of these things to not come to fruition, to not occur. I'm also a realist, and I would say we're not doing a real great job on a few levels. Fukushima, according to the Playaren, was a worst-case disaster almost from the get-go, the meltdowns and all this stuff. They told Meyer about it in March. The BP oil disaster, that hasn't gone away. The damage to the food chain, to the environment, all these things. And I don't want to do the doom and gloom thing, but you've asked a question.
Well, let's do doom and gloom, man, because I'll tell you, people are worried big time. They're worried about coming famines. I believe it was Brenda sent an email a while ago that said, will you please get him to give us a little insight on any coming famine, if something bad's going to happen in 2012? I mean...
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If we read the Meyer material and study... He has been saying for over 50 years, Meyer was the first person to talk about climate change and global warming in 1951 and 58 as a 14 and a 21-year-old man warning about things. He was warning in 58 about the debt crisis. He warned about the disease called AIDS by name. He predicted the two U.S. wars with Iraq. I mean, all of this stuff, it's mind-boggling. Okay, famine. Those things are coming if we don't succeed in changing course. And quite honestly, some of this stuff is going to happen because we've gone past the point of no return, where we could have been altering the trajectory of that pendulum we sent out. Now it's coming back like a wrecking ball. So
well, unless I'm very much mistaken, Michael, where was this information available? I mean, I only heard about him. I didn't know where I could actually find anything that
Yes.
had been translated or anything else. I mean, I was just sort of wandering around. I'd heard his name, but, I mean, how are we supposed to get this information?
Absolutely right. Here's what happened. When Meyer was a young guy, as I said, 14 and 21, he sent out letters, typewritten letters, up to 3,000 of them to different countries and people. He maybe got two answers or four answers out of all of that. You're talking, now you move into the 70s. Remember I said I saw his book in 1979. His stuff was getting around Europe in, let's say, the 75, latter part of 75, he's publishing. But Meyer has been, this is the most suppressed story. The CIA and other intelligence services, and this isn't conspiracy theory, they have been involved in watching and monitoring this so closely. I didn't put the link up. It's probably somewhere on my blog. There is a guy that wrote a two-part blog on UFODigest.com telling the story that Wendell and Lee had both told me about how they were picked up all the time, starting in about 78, going in and out of London on their way to Zurich, even without reservations. They would just hop on a plane. They were picked up by a chauffeur for the CIA from the Grosner House, which is in London, and it's still, I think there's now a U.S. embassy. It was the field office for the CIA, and the man's name was Robert Nathan. They would pick the investigators up coming in to London on the way to Zurich, and from Zurich through London, they would ask them to please give them the photographs and any information. They would take it in another room. 20, 30 minutes later, they would be given back the stuff. Meyer was observed. There is a military base literally up the road above his property. The CIA had occupied that post for a long time. 4 or 5 years ago, I said to Billy, well, is the CIA still in there? And he says, no, they don't need to be that close. Their equipment is so sophisticated, they can monitor us from a great distance away. And then he said in his characteristic kind of innocent way, I don't know why they don't just come and knock on the door. We really don't have any secrets here. And this is the problem. The CIA admitted to Jim Delatosa that they had a photograph of one of the Playaren craft over the Myers area there. And they said, no, we're not giving it to you for examination. And this conversation never happened. This stuff is, the problem is, yes, the intelligence agencies and the governments and the media have suppressed this or ridiculed it when it comes up. But the biggest enemies of the Meyer case exist in the UFO community, for whom this is a threat. And you will not find MUFON or ExoPolitics or anybody else pointing people. They won't even look at it or investigate it themselves. And believe me, I'm a little bulldog in trying to get them to do that in every way, shape possible. And some of the folks have taken an inordinate amount of time to figure out ways to decline to even investigate it when it's the only ongoing. It's ongoing now. His contacts are still going on in Switzerland. His material is being corroborated. You won't find it with the folks with the petitions. You won't find it with the Disclosure Project or Stephen Greer or anybody else.
Well, what is what's the latest hot headline that he's received lately? Now that you, there was something, I've got a lot of notes on you, and I'm frantically trying to get between them. And
yeah,
oh, do you hear that sound? That's the music that says, well, we're going to take another break because Wells ran long on the last one. But here's the thing. So the difference between a contactee is an ET walks up to you and talks to you, whereas an observation like those boys did at RAF Bentwaters some years ago,
right,
where the craft was there, that's different.
I think so. I observed, and I don't call myself a contactee. And even though they sent information to me, I'm not a contactee.
Gotcha.
So please, you know, everybody, give it a
breath. Well, I think it's important to make that distinction, and I'm glad that that we discussed it, even if it was just 5 seconds worth. It's very salient.
Yes.
You feel like taking some calls next hour, maybe?
Anytime.
All right, sounds great. Let's take another one, and we'll come back with Michael Horn. This is fun, I think. Don't you? This is Coast to Coast AM.